20 minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
What is up, Packers fans? Happy Monday. Welcome into an all-new episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Herman. You can follow me on Twitter at AndyHermanNFL. Thanks for being here. Hope you all had a wonderful weekend. We've got a college basketball national championship tonight. My Brewers are off to a hot start. Things are mostly good in the sports world. Of course, NFL draft is coming up in just over a couple weeks, which seems crazy to say. On the one hand, it feels like, oh my God, it's almost here. On the other hand, it feels like, oh my God, we've still got like 17 days until the NFL draft. But here we are. We're getting closer, inch by inch to the NFL draft. It's a fun time of year. Hope you guys are all enjoying the extra bonus draft content. Ross Uglum, daily draft every single day. Make sure you're checking that out. Andrew Merteg is putting out some really awesome stuff as well. Make sure to check out that. And if you're not checking out the audio podcast every day to get some additional episodes as well, yeah, you should definitely be doing that as well. We've got a great team of people all season long, but in draft season as well, picking up on a bunch of different draft topics. So get all of your Packers draft content over on the audio channel, again, right here on YouTube as well. By the way, just one quick piece of news and notes. If you are listening on Spotify, had a couple people reach out to me and say, hey, are you going to start doing video on Spotify? Tuesday, tomorrow should be the day that video goes live on Spotify as well. So keep an eye out for that. Also, we do have to do things a couple different ways. So if you do experience any issues on Spotify over the next couple days, please reach out to me at packadaypodcast@gmail.com or just on social media, just to alert me of it, just so I know that there is some sort of issue there. But everything should be clean and clear and not have any issues. The audio version of Spotify should be exactly the same. All other platforms will be 100% the same. So no issues there whatsoever, but we should be getting Spotify video on Tuesday. As mentioned, again, make sure you're checking out that daily draft, Ross Uglum, as well. And if you have the opportunity, please make sure to like, subscribe, comment, and give those 5-star reviews. All right. There's no other news or notes from the weekend from a Packers standpoint whatsoever. We're just gearing up for the draft. But there has been an interesting sort of development, maybe kind of sort of. We're going to talk today about Jaire Alexander, and more specifically, if the Packers should or ever would consider bringing Jaire back. Now, why this is a topic of conversation is because there was recently an Instagram account for Jaire Alexander that started posting things about Green Bay, again, the Green Bay Packers. He posted, you're right, in downtown Green Bay, a picture that I'm assuming he took. Here's the thing. There have been conflicting reports as to whether or not this is actually Jaire Alexander's account, or if it is not. It does not seem maybe to have the same handle that he used to have, but apparently his sister or something said it was actually him. I don't know. I don't necessarily care one way or the other. I'm just letting you know that's how this all sort of became a topic of conversation. Looking at that Instagram account, it is either Jaire Alexander or somebody that knows him well enough to impersonate him very, very well, because there, first of all, are some personal videos of Jaire that I'm assuming only he or somebody very, very close to him would have, or somebody's just scouring the internet in a very unique way to make a fake Jaire account. Like I said, that's not the point of today's show one way or the other. It's to talk about, you know, if all of a sudden that is Jaire, or if Jaire is interested in returning to Green Bay, or is interested in returning to football. We'll talk through all those things. But would it make some logical sense for the Packers to be interested in bringing him back to the Packers? And I should just let you know something about me as well. These are some of my absolute favorite topics to cover. And what I mean by that is something that on the surface might seem a little bit absurd, right? And you get this, you know, Instagram account from Jaire that's back up and it's posting about the Packers in the city of Green Bay and things like that. And it reaches the message boards, the Facebook posts, and Jaire's coming back. Bring back Jaire Alexander. The Packers should bring back Jaire. And half of you are probably thinking, maybe even more than half, but there's a portion of you that are thinking, this is so absurd. And there's another portion thinking, oh my God, of course. The cornerback room sucks. Bring back Jaire Alexander. Absolutely. Bring him back. And this is where I love having these conversations. Because if you are on the side of this is an absurd, stupid topic. I hope today that by the end of today's conversation, you might look at it at least a little bit differently and say, all right, maybe it wasn't quite as absurd as I thought going in. And if you are like, oh my God, this is a no-brainer, of course, bring back Jair Alexander, I have a strong feeling that you will probably get to the end of today's episode and feel like, all right, there's a few nuances at least that we have to consider before even thinking about considering bringing back Jair Alexander. So that's what I'm hoping to accomplish today. In all honesty, just because I think this topic is unique and interesting. He's a very interesting, unique personality and player. There were unbelievable years in Green Bay. There were some not so great years. There's a lot of injuries. There was some off-field stuff. We're going to go through all of that and see if he could, in fact, assimilate back to being a Green Bay Packer. All right. So the first thing with all of this that's just a non-starter, if this first thing doesn't get cleared, is that Jair Alexander has to want to play football. If you remember, he stepped away in the middle of last season after getting traded to Philadelphia. We'll go through that timeline momentarily, but that's the first thing here, is that Jair Alexander has to want to play football again. If he doesn't, this whole thing is a complete non-starter. So that is sort of a little bit of step one. There's also another sort of hitch in this entire conversation. The Philadelphia Eagles own his rights. The Eagles traded a 6th-round pick for Jair Alexander and a 7th-round pick from the Baltimore Ravens after Alexander signed with them last year. So the Eagles, as of right now, do own Jair Alexander's rights. And it's possible that if Jair Alexander does want to play football again, the Eagles could just say, cool, it's with us. Or they could say, yeah, we don't want it to be with us. We're not interested in you coming back, but we're not just going to give you away for free either. You're going to have to find a trade somewhere else. We want to recoup that trade value. You need to find some team that's willing to give up a 6th or 7th round pick, something, probably a 7th round pick in that range, so that we can recoup some of that trade value that we gave out and got nothing in return because you retired or stopped playing at that point in time. So if you want to play somewhere else, you're going to have to find a trade partner that's willing to give up something. We're just not going to do it for free. Or they could just release him as well and say, we're ready to be done with this entire thing. We already brought in, you know, Reek Woolen this offseason. There's no room for you anyway. We'll release you. You go do your thing. Those are possibilities, right? But it should very much be noted that at this point in time, the Philadelphia Eagles do in fact own his rights. From a Packers standpoint, we should also take a look at where the position stands right now in Green Bay. And most of you, if not all of you, know this already. It's not exactly busting at the seams with ultra-talented corners that are ready to be your number one, two corner, right? Like, there are some major question marks and concerns at this position. You've got Keyshawn Nixon, Carrington Valentine, Benjamin St. Juice, who they brought in this offseason, Kamal Haddon, who's coming back from injury, Shamar Bartholomew, Tyron Herring, and Bo Melton. And Bo Melton, of course, is making that transition. We don't know 100% if it's still going to be at defensive back. I have a feeling that he's going to do a little bit of everything still to give him that value where he can play teams, offense, and defense, which is really the way that he makes it onto a 53-man roster. But we don't know that for sure, and he's never played an NFL snap at corner. And so if you're really looking at it, right, and maybe you want to include Javon Bullard in the slot, I'm just talking about kind of outside corner here. St. Juste, Valentine, and Nixon are your three. Kamal Haddon would have to earn his spot. Obviously, Bartholomew, Tyron Herring, even Bo Melton, you're not banking anything on those players at this point in time. So it is still very much a position of need for Green Bay. We should also note that, like we talked about at the onset of today's show, the draft is coming up. Green Bay very much is likely to attack this draft by looking at corners and probably ending up with at least one, if not two corners from this draft. You never quite know for sure, but it is a pretty deep draft when it comes to cornerbacks. Green Bay needs them not just this year, but next year as well. So it is also possible that not only are those corners that are on the team now, but in a few weeks, you might have two more corners, including like a 2nd and a 5th or a 3rd and a 6th, 3rd and a 4th. We don't know, but you could easily have a couple corners that are not on the roster right now that are immediately following the draft. I'm sure they're going to attack that position with undrafted free agency as well. Fingers crossed, maybe they can find that next Sam Shields. So that's, again, where things stand right now with both Jaire Alexander and his rights being owned by the Philadelphia Eagles. And technically, he's still sort of retired at the moment. And the Packers still need help at corner, but that could be coming via the draft in a few weeks. Now, as far as Jaire Alexander goes, he's been in the league for a while now. This is not some 33, 34-year-old corner. He just turned 29 years old. He has not even hit that magical or maybe unmagical age of 30 at this point. I'm not going to say it's necessarily prime of a cornerback's career because of the wear and tear that it can take sometimes, but he is still at least adjacent to the prime of his career and certainly not in the twilight of his career. At least you wouldn't think it at age 29 in any real sense of the way. And when he was still playing, he was still playing at a pretty high level for Green Bay in 2024 when he was on the field. He had a 77.3 PFF grade in 2024, albeit only on 361 snaps, which of course has been a little bit of an issue for Jaire. Personally, I had a plus 0.75 grade on Jaire. Not, I would say that's a little bit, I would probably put that at like, if you're putting in PFF terms, probably like a 64, 65, 66 grade, but above average. 60 is average for PFF. Right? PFF gave him a 77.3. But here's the thing. That 0.75 grade for me in 2024, how about we compare that to the top two corners in 2025? Carrington Valentine had a negative 5.25 grade and Keyshawn Nixon had a negative 3.05 grade. So if Jaire were able to come in and even play at that plus 0.75 level, that is still a potentially significant upgrade from where Keyshawn Nixon and Carrington Valentine were at a season ago. So even just solid play from a incoming Jaire Alexander, not prime of his career, right? Not unbelievable Jaire, not great Jaire, just sound, solid corner play from Jaire Alexander would be an upgrade from anything we saw at corner a season ago. We'll be right back. Now, before we can attack this in a, you know, looking at the real pros and cons, I think we first need to look at what happened a season ago, because this could also shape this entire conversation. If you remember, going into last offseason, I'm sure you remember it, because there was a lot of drama surrounding it. We talked so much about Jaire Alexander last year at this time. It was a nonstop conversation from basically about January until June. It was way too much Jaire. We talked Jaire all the time. I'm not just talking about me and here on this podcast, which yes, we did, but all over. It was a constant conversation piece. Mine a little bit more because I put that 0.01% odds of him returning to Green Bay and people were not happy with me about that. Did not like that one bit whatsoever. And so I had to sweat that out to see if he was actually going to come back or not. I really didn't think he was going to. And then, of course, he didn't. And they released him eventually. But at this point in time last year, the Packers owned Jaire Alexander's rights. And they were doing everything in their power to try to find what likely was going to be some sort of trade for his services. And they let that thing drag on for freaking ever. Very different than what they did this offseason with Elgton Jenkins or with Trayvon Diggs, where they let Diggs go immediately, right? Jenkins, right around free agency time, they let him go. Right? They didn't let those things linger. They traded Rashawn Gary early in the, right around free agency as well. There's no question mark right now on if they're going to release or not release somebody. Nate Hobbs got released around that time. They didn't let any of those situations linger. In 2025 with Jaire, they did. They let that thing go on up until June. It was not until June that he ultimately ended up getting released. June 9th, in fact, almost 3 months after free agency started. And that's when, once he finally got released and Green Bay gave in and just cut him, the Ravens signed him to a one-year, $4 million deal that could go up to $6 million with incentives. Jaire ended up playing 33 snaps in week one, did not play well, had a 29.8 PFF grade in that game. And honestly, if you watch the film, it's that ugly. It's an ugly performance from Jaire. Then he was not on the injury report in week two, and he was what was basically a healthy scratch. Now, they talked about getting his knee right and things like that, but he was not on the injury list all week long, and then he got deactivated, did not play in week two, did not play in week three, did not play in week four. You know, a lot of healthy scratches in there. Played 28 snaps in week five, had a 60.9 PFF grade in that game, played a little bit better. And then eventually, the Ravens were not in the Jaire Alexander business. They traded him to the Eagles on November 1st. He actually reported to the Eagles on a couple days later and actually talked to the media and everything. And then a few days later, he stepped away. He said he wanted to focus on his physical and mental health. And basically, that's the last that we have heard from Jaire Alexander. So that was the entire situation that happened in 2025. A lot that happened. He had to go through the entire bizarro offseason with Green Bay, gets released, goes to Baltimore, was super happy going to Baltimore, former teammate with Lamar Jackson in college, of course, was thrilled to be there, doesn't really go his way. Brutal week one, inactive a few weeks, okay week five, traded away, and then steps away from football. That's a crazy year for Jaire, right? Even by Jaire standards, that's a pretty wild year. And certainly did not go, I'm sure, the way that he ultimately wanted it to go in any way, shape, or form. The other thing we need to look at is his playing time and injury history. Now, in 2018 as a rookie, he played, I want to say, like 700, 800 snaps. In 2019 and 2020, he played back-to-back 1,000 snap seasons. And of course, was fantastic. Just phenomenal, phenomenal player. So fun to watch. Brought an energy and an intensity to the team. Really, he was not afraid to lay a hit and put his shoulder into somebody. And then, of course, in 2021, had the shoulder injury, only played 227 snaps that year. And to me, that was a huge game changer. Was never really quite the same after that. His coverage skills did not decline right away. Those stuck, but he was never the same as a tackler or as a run defender or as just a pesky player that was willing to come in and stick his nose into things. He just, after that shoulder injury, he never really played like that again. He then, though, played 900 snaps in 2022 of still really good sound coverage football. But then the year after that, played 560 snaps. The year after that, only 361, and then only 61 snaps a season ago. So this has been a constant battle with playing to, or just basically injuries and situations that have presented themselves where Jaire just cannot stay on the field. And of course, he's got the physical issues with the shoulder being a big thing that's played a part in his career. And then, you know, just even he said he wanted to stay away, you know, kind of get away for his mental health as well, which has been a priority for him, which of course it should be. I'm not making a commentary on that. That's the number one priority, should be for everybody. But that has been something that has, you know, again, caused him basically to step away a year ago. That's something that needs to kind of be monitored as well if you're going to bring him back to the team. And of course, Jaire and Green Bay have had this jaded history as well. Now, Goody made him his first ever draft pick. Goody's first ever pick as GM was Jaire Alexander. And again, he played exceptional football early in his career. And while he was never quite the same following that shoulder issue, you know, he still played well when available from 2022 to 2024. But there were some issues that were piling up. Of course, you had the coin toss situation that got him suspended. And as Goody and as I think it was Matt actually talked about at the time, it was not just that one situation. That was not an isolated incident. It was an accumulation of events that led to that suspension. And then I've given a lot of credit to both Jaire and the Packers. I thought the Packers were right to suspend him. I thought they did the right thing. And then it really felt like Jaire took it to heart and he grew and he took the steps needed the rest of that season. Seemed like he came back pretty motivated the next offseason. And then it just ultimately felt like things kind of fell apart again over time in Green Bay and just weren't in a great spot. That's the way it felt. All right. So that suspension and just the overall relationship between the Packers and Jaire Alexander just felt like it was at a point that by the time they released him, it felt like both sides were very, very much ready to move on, which is, by the way, why I said 0.01%. I just didn't see a situation where Green Bay wanted him back at that point in time. Not to mention that, but tackling again has become a major issue for Jaire. He has not been the tackler or run defender that he used to be earlier in his career, again, prior to the shoulder issue. Again, the Packers were more than ready to move on when they released him in 2025, just less than a year ago. And it should be noted too, Jaire might be pretty unhappy with the way the Packers treated him a year ago. You know, him and his agent, I'm sure we're saying like, guys, you are not going to find a trade. Either let him come back, figure out a renegotiation, or just cut the guy and let him go find a team. And again, the fact that the Packers dragged that out as long as they did just to get nothing in return. And by the way, if you want to know the absurdity of that from just a Packers standpoint, he signed for a 1-year, $4 million deal. All right. The contract that Jair was on, there was nobody, and I mean nobody, that was going to have any interest in trading for him at that number. And if Green Bay was trying to hold him hostage so that he would take a pay cut, so then they could trade him to get that, what ultimately was basically what Philly gave up for him, a 6th-round pick for Jair and a 7th, there was no way Jair was going to do that, because his whole argument is going to be, release me and then I can go find the team that I want to play with and I can go sign there. Now, that didn't work out either, because the Ravens basically benched him and traded him, but he wanted to pick his own team. It made no sense for him to renegotiate that in any way. And he knew that Green Bay wasn't going to be able to keep him on that contract. So there was never going to be a trade. There was never, ever, ever going to be a trade for Jair Alexander from the Green Bay Packers. And so the agent and Jair could easily be pretty pissed with the way that that situation went a year ago and have no interest in going back to Green Bay. Even if we get to the checkpoints of he wants to play football again and Philly's ready to, you know, release him and let him go to a different team, he could say, I'm not going to Baltimore. I'm not going to Philly. And I'm certainly not going to Green Bay. And he could pick a different team from there. Maybe Miami with Jeff Hafley, and because they have, you know, corner needs for days. Who knows? But he could be not happy with the organization, just like Green Bay may not necessarily want him back either. But there are reasons why this would make sense for Green Bay. The first is that, again, if he is healthy and motivated and good to go, he is still only 29 years old and very, very capable of playing well in coverage. Again, I'm not expecting him to ever be the tackler that he once was ever again, but when he's on, he is still a very, very good cover corner. Even if he did struggle mightily in week one a season ago, I think that knee issue that he had was continuing to really bother him. If he's healthy, if he's truly, truly healthy and everything's right, you have to think that he can still cover in the NFL. I would be willing to bet that he could. And if he is, in fact, returning and once again found his passion for the game, sometimes that year away is all you need to just clear your mind and get right and be ready to play football again. And every once in a while, as we've seen with Mike McCarthy and Aaron Rodgers now potentially, distance makes the heart grow fonder and the grass isn't always greener on the other side. And if that is Jair Alexander's Instagram account and he's posting a bunch of stuff about his time with the Packers and reminiscing on it and missing his time in Green Bay and his time with his teammates, maybe he does look at it and say, you know what? I really enjoyed my time with Green Bay. Maybe I took it for granted. Maybe I was in the wrong and thought it was going to be better somewhere else. And I actually had it best there. And maybe there is a motivation on Jair's side to try to come back to Green Bay, be in the right headspace, be the best corner that he can be. And if that's the case, again, I have a feeling he can probably still cover pretty well at this stage of his career at age 29. Maybe most importantly, the Packers need talent at that position. It is severely lacking at the moment. And even again, a good, solid, sound Jair. Doesn't have to be great, doesn't have to be prime, doesn't have to be perfect. A good Jair, a solid Jair is an upgrade from anything on their roster right now at corner. So that has to at least be worth sniffing around a little bit, right? The Packers were better with Jair at corner, and Jair was better when he was on the Packers. And if those two realize it and say, hey, you know, you complete me, I complete you, et cetera, you know, that we are better with each other than away from each other, maybe there's something mutual there. Maybe. The other thing is that the best free agents available at the position, you can make a really strong argument that if Jair were to become available, if you're just taking a flyer, right? Some of those names, by the way, Rasul Douglas, Trayvon Diggs, L'Jarius Sneed, and Jair Alexander. Those are probably the four names. You could make an argument that if each of those players hit their ceiling for what you would expect them to be, that Jair is at least in the conversation for being the best, you know, most fun flyer, where if he reaches his ceiling, he could still be very good. If you're going to take a flyer on something, he's as good as any option that's out there right now. You might say Rasul, okay. You might say Trayvon Diggs, okay. You might say Legarius Sneed, okay. I would listen to arguments for any of them, but you could at least make an argument that Jair is the highest upside of any of those players if he does in fact become available. That's all that. Again, he could be the best free agent out there. The other thing is that it's possible and very much likely that he could be had for extremely cheap. He's not in a position to negotiate right now. If he comes back, he's probably taking somewhere near the league minimum, maybe a little bit more. And if you're looking for an upgrade at corner, you could do a lot worse than a very, very cheap one-year vet min, Jair Alexander, who's trying to get back in the league and play at a higher level again. And from a pure coverage standpoint, he fits cover four with Jonathan Gannon and what Jonathan Gannon's going to want to do from a cover standpoint. So there are reasons why this does make sense. Now, we've touched on some of these already, but there's also a lot of reasons this does not make sense, and it probably should not and probably will not happen. Most importantly, the Packers soured on Jair Alexander, and I don't know if that's reconcilable, and I don't know for a team that's maybe struggling a little bit in the locker room right now, for a team that's missing some of that toughness, for a team that is maybe looking for leadership and not another agent of potential chaos, I'm not sure that Jair Alexander is the most ideal player to be adding to the locker room and to the defense at this point in time. I'll just put it that way, all right? And again, as a pure cover guy, lots to potentially like. The other stuff, there's certainly question marks on. I would certainly question if his heart is still truly in it. Again, he just stepped away a year ago. Didn't seem like it was at that point in time. So I'd have to be pretty convinced that his heart was truly in it now. The injury history would give me cause for major concern. Again, outside of the 901 snaps that he played in 2022 and the four other years surrounding that, 21, 23, 24, 25, he played 1,209 snaps total in those 4 years, on average 302 snaps per year. So even if you went through all of this, and he got released and everything, and he wanted to be in Green Bay and you wanted him back, even if you get him, the odds are that you get him more than 302 or, you know, around there snaps is probably not great, just because he hasn't been able to play much even over the last 3, 4, 5 years. More often than not, he's out a lot of games. It's another reason why this probably doesn't make sense. He struggled mightily in coverage just in week one a year ago at the Ravens. New opportunity, you know, new time to shine. They gave him a bunch of playing time and he struggled. Didn't look like himself. Tackling again is a major concern. Doesn't play special teams. So if he's going to make the team, it almost has to be as a starter or at least as like a top three corner. You're not just bringing him in for a depth piece. Those depth pieces need to be able to go out and play on teams. And he is not certainly going to do that. Now, also, we talked about cover four and coverage responsibilities. Coverage responsibilities, Jair fits very well in cover four. In run defense, you have to be able to play the outside run game. You have responsibilities in that. You have assignments in that. And that is not Jair's forte. That's not something you necessarily want him doing on a consistent basis. The game is clearly taking a toll on him, again, both physically and mentally. And if Philly does want anything in trade whatsoever, that would be a pretty much complete non-starter for them. There's no way they're giving up anything in trade to try to get Jair Alexander back. So it'd have to be a situation where he's released. Otherwise, it's just dead on arrival. It's not going to happen. Here, in my opinion, is how this would have to go down if Jair Alexander were to return to Green Bay. And it would have to be this almost to a T. This is the only scenario that I could see where this would happen. We'll be right back. First step, Jair Alexander restates himself into the NFL and says he wants to play football again and is dedicated to it. Asks for his release from the Philadelphia Eagles and says, I'm back, but I don't want to be here. I want my release. And Philly says, cool, here's your release. Go have fun. We're not interested anymore anyway. That has to happen first. Then Jair to me would have to go to the Packers and say, I want to play in Green Bay. listen, I know I made some mistakes in the past. I know that, you know, I things didn't end in a great situation. I know why you guys released me. I want to come back to Green Bay. I want to be a Packer. I want to play for you guys. And he would have to make that step first. And then I think at that point, the Packers would probably go back to Jair right now and say, that's great. We've got a draft coming up. And so we're going to see what happens in the draft first. And if in the draft, they do not hit at corner the way that they were expecting to, maybe they get a sixth or a seventh or something, but they don't significantly upgrade or add at corner. Now that conversation takes place. And that conversation to me would have to be Jair Alexander flying into Green Bay with his agent and having a long sit down with Matt LaFleur and Brian Gutekunst and Jonathan Gannon and, you know, probably Bobby Babich, the secondary coach, and meeting with those guys and hashing this out and seeing if he's all in, if he truly wants to be a Green Bay Packer, and then if he's ready to play both physically and mentally. I would work him out, see what type of shape that he's in, see if he's good to go. I would obviously have him pass a physical, see if that, you know, the ankle and the shoulder, where those things are at. And if we feel like, you know, he can play at 100% or close to it, all right, that checks that box. And then the last thing would be, maybe not the last, but he would sign a one-year vet minimum deal that has incentives throughout the season, including if you would make the opening 53-man roster. Because at that point, if there's no guarantees up until week one when he makes the roster, where again, some bonus kicks in at that point, and he becomes a fully vested veteran at that point if he makes the week one roster, it is just a training camp flyer. There's really no harm or foul. If he doesn't make it, if it's not good enough, you release him. And it's over. It's done with. But if he truly comes back and shows that he's Jair Alexander again and that he can play at a high enough level, then guess what? He's probably your week one starting outside corner. And you probably feel better about it than if it was Carrington Valentine or Keyshawn Nixon or whoever else would be probably starting at that spot. So that to me would have to be the exact scenario. And you'd have to, again, stay healthy and win that roster spot in training camp on a one-year vet minimum deal that maybe some bonus kicks in if he makes the initial 53 active, not on the injured list. It has to be active on the week one roster. Now, how likely do I think that is? I think very unlikely. I think very, very unlikely. But interestingly enough, I would probably put it above 0.05%, which means I would put it above right now where I thought Jair was at this point last year. Meaning I think he has a better chance to play for the Green Bay Packers in 2026 than at the same time when I thought there was no chance he was going to play for the Packers in 2025. I don't think it's impossible. I think it's very, very unlikely. I would probably put it at a 1% chance, maybe a 2% chance. That's probably where I'd put it at. I don't think it's completely unfeasible, but everything would have to go in a very, very specific way. Would I do it? My gut says probably not. I don't think it's the right player at the right time for the right reasons. But if all those conditions were met exactly, he's reinstated, he's reinvigorated, the Eagles cut him, there's no trade compensation. He comes to the Packers and says, I want to be a Packer. I want to be back in Green Bay. I want to play for you. I am hungry. I am ready. I am healthy. I'm all in, right? I want to win a Super Bowl with the Packers. And he has that mentality to him. And he checks the physical. He looks like he's in great condition, right? Mentally, he's good to go. There's no concerns about him returning to football. And he, again, says, I want to be a Green Bay Packer. Works out, looks great. All of it. 1 year vet minimum. No guarantees up until week one. Sure. I would have no issue doing that. No issue whatsoever. So again, I don't think it's super likely, but if everything checked every single one of those boxes right along the way, what's there to lose at that point? I think you just have to. He's talented enough where you give yourself that opportunity. And sometimes when a player steps away like that for a year, sometimes that's all they need. Just a year for their body to rest, a year to remember how much they love the game, a year to, again, think back at some of those memories they've had, again, in this case, being a Green Bay Packer, and just to get that hunger back. And if he got that, if you can see it in his eye and he's hungry for it again, give him the opportunity. Show, make him prove it. Don't guarantee anything, but make him prove and give him that opportunity. I would have no issue with that. That's what I got. Who would you want? Trayvon Diggs, Jaire Alexander, Rasul Douglas, Legarius Sneed. If you were taking a flyer, assuming Jaire became available on one of those corners, 1 year, near vet minimum, maybe slight signing bonus type deal, which one would you want? Rasul, Jaire, Trayvon Diggs, or Legarius Sneed? Rasul does make some sense. I don't think that was probably the answer either. Sneed was so bad a season ago. Jaire's got the issues with Green Bay. I don't know. There's no great options. Let's be crystal clear. There's no great options. But again, if Jaire was all in, I think that might be the best one. That's going to do it for me today. Let me know in the comments what you guys think. Shout out to our All-Pro and Hall of Fame members, PJ Wynn, Brandon Paletta, Boom Handle, Donald Lee, Lori Lord, David McCluskey, Alex Wong, Peter Rataka, Jay Zimmerman, B. Brown, Puerto Rican Packer, Dan Gasford, Chris Rager, Izzy Roberts, Ian Ewing, Willie Winkelstinkle, The Gable Storm, Pack Attack Cast, Chris Weish, Craig, John D. Metropolis, Devin Lane, Richard Morales, Les Nino, Beast Bumblebee, Steve Bates, John Mark Lydell, Nemo, Donald Decker, Damon Hartley, Zilch, Zillertson, Large Charles, Jake Conner, Will Glass, Imperium Collectibles, Carlo Delgado, and Benjamin Sargent. I'll see you guys today for members Q&A, 4 p.m. Central Time. But until next time, and as always, go Pack Go.